Today on the Daily Gator Daily Thought, why do some people have such a problem with the whole concept of self-defense? Why do they always seem to think that anytime anyone defends themselves or others with violent force when it's necessary is wrong somehow? Moral retardation syndrome? Condemning those who defend themselves or others? Doesn't sound very American to me. And welcome again to the Daily Gator Daily Thought with me, Doug Hagan. How are you? How you doing? You doing okay? Very nice. Let's get right to this. We know about the horrific shooting at synagogue in Pittsburgh. And Daniel Greenfield has written a piece that, like most of the things he writes, is powerful, intellectually deep, and wise. Daniel Greenfield has wisdom. And he talks about God and guns in the synagogue, and this could go for the church. We know that Sutherland Springs here in Texas, there was a maniac who went in and shot up a church there, killed some of his family and some others, until he himself was shot by an armed American citizen. And the media made a lot of hay over the weapon used, the AR-15, by this psychopathic person who went in this church and killed innocent people. They didn't really mention that an AR-15 was used to stop him. But again, that's the media. But let's get to the Greenfield piece here. He writes that there are two types of synagogues: those that believe in God and those that believe in government. After the mass shooting in a Pittsburgh synagogue, the government synagogues turned to the government with calls for gun control. And those that believe in God turn to God, the Almighty. And then, trusting in the Almighty to stand with them against danger, they went out and got their guns. And of course, the left goes absolutely apocalyptic. Every time this happens, every time anyone says, hey, maybe more churches, more synagogues, any place that has been a soft target, a gun-free zone, a place where no one is usually armed, maybe it's time they hired armed security, encourage members to train, to buy firearms, to get concealed licenses, and to train, to take training in active shooter and things like that. The left loses their minds. And that's the government types. Everything is the government. The government's supposed to protect them from everything. They have no faith in themselves or anyone else to do that for themselves. That's the biggest disconnect between left and right you're ever going to find, is over firearms and over self-defense. Because being collectivists, the left thinks, oh, it's the government's job to protect you. And they scoff that anyone could ever protect themselves, even though I am among millions and millions of Americans that have done that with a firearm. So I know from personal experience. The individualists, people like me, conservatives, we look to ourselves and say it's our responsibility. I don't want my church or my synagogue or any other place where I go, my bar where I frequent it and hang out, I don't want any of those places to become the next target, the next soft target. So let's find ways to put up a guard, a barrier. And of course, nothing's foolproof. Having the best trained armed security in the world might not save you. But the more levels of security you have, the safer you will be. And it starts with the fact that it will not be a soft targeting longer. It will not be, because apparently this shooter in California, not the synagogue shooter, the former Marine in Thousand Oaks, California, apparently he hung out at this country western bar a lot. If there had been security there and it was known, there's a good chance he would have never gone in there. He would have found someone else, someplace else. There's a good chance, but I can't predict what would have happened, but I can't say with absolute certainty, but there's a good chance. Now back to the Greenfield piece. He writes that morning services at the synagogue these days begin and end with guns, with talk of tactical courses, firing ranges, and concealed carry permits. If someone comes to kill you, get up early to kill him first. The Gemara, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, I'm not Jewish, so I may screw it up, I'm sorry if I do. The Babylonian Talmud, that massive encyclopedic work codifying Jewish law, advises. In other words, defend yourself. In synagogues across America, Greenfield writes, the teachers, actuaries, and small businessmen rising early for morning prayers are preparing for a mass shooting attack. Every synagogue I have been to lately has members who carry concealed firearms. Members are attending security measures, or courses rather, training to identify, disarm, or kill active shooters while also preparing for the ugly aftermath of another synagogue massacre. In other words, folks, they are preparing for what might happen. They're preparing for worst case scenario and to be prepared. They're not wanting it to happen. They're not trying to be heroic. They're simply taking responsibility for their own security. And the left hates that. Greenfield continues, while one faction of American Jews, the noisome lefty one, shouts about gun control, the quieter religious one is choosing self-defense over gun control and preparing to face another attack. After the Pittsburgh shooting, the Jewish Community Relations Council of San Francisco recycled a gun control tract from 1999, warning that, quote, 14 young people below the age of 20 are killed by guns in this country every day. Greenfield dispels that by writing that the talking point about inner city gang violence had nothing to do with the mass shootings of unarmed Jewish worshipers, but establishment politics tend to run on lefty autopilot. That's true, they just regurgitate the same talking points. But meanwhile, in South Philly, far from San Francisco, but all too close to Pittsburgh, religious Jews were going out and buying firearms. A 61-year-old Jewish woman was quoted as saying, I'm a daughter of a Holocaust survivor. I lost all my aunts and uncles in a Holocaust, and I'm going to go down fighting. I'm not walking into a gas chamber. I'm not going to stand there like a sitting duck and get shot at. I refuse. That is a person taking responsibility and saying, hell no, I'm not giving up my right to self-defense. I'm going to use it to my last breath. That spirit personifies one of America's most basic principles. In fact, the most essential liberty, in my opinion, is the right to self-defense. Because when the government takes your right to self-defense away, every other right has been shredded. Jonathan Stern, an IDF veteran running tactical training courses at Sherev Gideon's Sword, suggested that the demand is coming from the more politically and religiously conservative Jews. That makes sense. Meanwhile, at a lefty protest back in Philly, Rebecca Hornstein, a member of the If Now, Now, anti-Israeli hate group, who backed anti-Semites like Keith Ellison and Linda Sarsour, claimed that nobody wanted guns. But Greenfield says, no, quite a few real Jews did. The debate over firearms in synagogues has reached into Jewish communities from New York to Philadelphia to Chicago, Colorado Springs, well, where Merrill Bernstein of Dragon Arms offered local rabbis in the area free handguns or AR-15s along with training and ammunition. And yes, liberals, yes, lefties, they would have to undergo a background check, federal background check, to be able to receive those guns. You have to have the tool to fight back, and this is the tool, the Jewish gun owner said. The local ADL branch, that's Anti-Defamation League, was unhappy with Bernstein's offer, claiming that armed clergy sent the wrong message. What is the wrong message to send to a psychopath who is intent on killing people? What is the message that will de-escalate that situation? What is the message that they will get through their sick, perversely disturbed mind and not harm anybody? What is the magic phrase we can say or action we can take that will make them into a good person and not an agent of evil? Please tell me what that message is. And five local rabbis, by the way, in Colorado Springs, took him up on the offer. The 97-year-old Holocaust survivor did not have good people that carry firearms during the Holocaust, but there are good people that carry firearms in America now. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who is the former head of 100 blacks in law enforcement, declared, "They should bring them inside with them to protect the people who are there." Amen. Amen. The idea that somehow good people possessing firearms creates evil? No, it dissuades evil. It prevents evil, and it can and has stopped evil in its tracks. Is it foolproof? Is it 100%? Of course not. Of course not. I mean, the police officer, the first police officer who responded in the Thousand Oaks, California shooting, died in a shootout with the madman who was killing innocent people. But how many people's lives were saved because in that time that police officer was exchanging gunfire with a psychopath? You don't think lives were saved there? And again, when did this stop? When enough police showed up, the killer decided to do everyone a favor and kill himself. Too bad he didn't do it before he took innocent people with him. But evil exists. It's real. It's not some fabrication. It's not some fantasy. Why do I own firearms? Why do I have firearms in my home? Because people do at times. It's very rare that it happens. There's a far greater chance than not that it's never going to happen to me or my family, my loved ones. But it does happen. And me owning firearms and training with firearms does not in any way encourage anyone to do evil to me. If anything, it will dissuade them if they know that guns are here. We know that hot burglaries are much more common in the UK and countries with gun control. Hot burglary is when you break in, a criminal breaks in knowing someone's home. Or not caring. Because there's less of a chance they will meet lethal force. But the left still is stuck on this idea that people defending themselves somehow is the cause of evil behavior. Let me tell you one of the great rules of life. Disarming the good does nothing but cause evil. Disarming the good does not transform evil people into good people. It does not transform violent people intent on causing harm into nonviolent people. Now, back to this Greenfield piece, and back to Eric Adams, who was the former head of the 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement. He said, if you are a Jewish police officer and you are off duty, when you come to worship, you should come with your handgun. If you're a Christian police officer, when you are off duty, he urged in a press conference outside a Jewish institution, come with your handgun. Absolutely. Why not? Why not? That police officer carries that firearm every time they're on duty. They are trained with it. That's part of their job. Why would you not want more armed people, good people there? I'll never understand it. Now, Council Speaker Cory Johnson tweeted, "No, no, no, this is not how we heal and move forward." Explain to me, anyone, explain to me how in the hell it heals or moves forward anything good by ceding your right to self-defense. Explain to me how that heals. To make it easier for the next guy who goes off the rails to kill innocent people, that somehow will heal. Assemblyman Dov Hykind, who is an Orthodox Jewish politician from Brooklyn, endorsed Adams' message and announced, "I am registering immediately for a gun license, and I encourage other Jews to do so to protect their institutions and synagogues." Now, I really need to read people like Daniel Greenfield. You don't hear this on CNN. I don't even think you've heard this on Fox. Perhaps you've had. You certainly won't hear it on MSNBS. You're not going to hear it on the CBS or ABC Evening News. And if you do, it will be done with a left-wing spin to it. But this is important. This is the debate you never hear. This is the information that's not passed on to the American people. Now, the problem with Mr. Hykind's statement is he has to register because he lives in the People's Republic of New York and doesn't live in a free state, that he has to register immediately for a gun license. And then he'll have to go through however red tape to actually get one, instead of if he lived in a real state like Texas or Tennessee or so many others, he could just go and buy a firearm, pass the background check, and there you go. Get his concealed handgun license, license to carry, there you go. But not in New York. David Pollack, on the other side, he is the director of public policy and security at the New York Jewish Community Relations Council, insisted, however, that guns wouldn't work. Having armed guard is not a panacea. No, it's not a panacea. Having an armed guard will not guarantee a damn thing. Except that you have a better chance something bad will not happen. You have a better chance that if something bad does happen, it will be less bad. To say that guns just wouldn't work, I mean, give me a break. This is a guy who's never studied, doesn't get into the stats of self-defensive use of people with firearms. On the other side of it, though, there's Rabbi Gary Moskowitz, a former NYPD officer and martial arts expert, who offers firearms trainings to rabbis. He's urged every congregation to arm its members. "They tell me it's not the Jewish way," he says. "How can a rabbi say that it's not the Jewish way when we just need to look at the Bible to see how David fought the Philistines?" Oh, actually, read the Bible. And when Moskowitz had previously proposed allowing congregants in New York City to carry guns, he was met with a cold response from local Democrats. What a shocker. Democrats who want the state to control that. "We need fewer, not more guns on the street, period." That was from City Councilman Mark Levine. He added, "This would make us less safe, not more safe." Incorrect. 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 But after Pittsburgh, Greenfield writes, unarmed synagogues don't feel so safe. We've got to get it through our heads. There are bad people in the world. I don't know that we'll ever be able to get inside the heads of a mass shooter and learn why they did it, because you're asking rational, good, decent, moral people to understand the actions of an evil monster. I don't know that we ever can. I don't know if we ever will. I certainly don't think blaming TV or movies or music or firearms or a book someone read, I don't think that's the way. I think the best way we can do is as prepared as possible. And disarming ourselves through laws or through our own willingness, I don't get it. I never will. This fascination the left has with throwing down every means of self-defense as a counteraction to evil people. Again, explain to me when pacifism, and this is a form of pacifism, has ever worked. It doesn't. Like so many gun control laws don't work. the bad guy walks right through them or takes advantage of them. Look how many gun-free zones have been the site of the mass shootings. How many? It's common sense. And it's sometimes the wisest course to do the toughest thing and to accept that there are bad things that happen. And not preparing for bad things doesn't make you safer. Common sense. I'm not telling you to buy a gun, carry a gun, own guns. I'm not telling you what to do, how to defend yourself. That's your business. But I am asking every American who goes anywhere where there's a basically a shooting gallery for an evil mass shooter, do you really feel less safe if you know that people are there with firearms that can shoot back? Or that may dissuade the person from even trying? And there's a reason all these mass shootings happen in gun-free zones. And people tell you, well, the California, the Thousand Oaks shooting, well, they had security there. The security wasn't armed. You know, they had several people there, I think. I heard the number 6. But they had security people that are not armed, so what does that do? You know, I went to a grocery store the other night, and there's a security guard in there. He doesn't have any firearm, doesn't have a baton, doesn't have anything. What is he there for? What's he going to do if someone walks in with a firearm? He doesn't make that store any safer. But it does make me consider not going to that store at a certain time of night or past a certain time of night. Because again, I want to take every step to make myself and my loved ones as safe as possible. And that's what people arming themselves in churches, synagogues, etc., etc., having more armed security in schools, etc., etc. That's why it makes sense. Not preparing for bad will not create good. And there is no perfect solution. But as Dennis Prager says, perfect is the enemy of good. Is having armed security at your church a perfect solution? No. But it's a good solution. And if you sacrifice that good solution in search of the perfect solution, you won't have any solution. And then it's just a question of casualties. Is that what you want? No, most people are never going to be involved and victimized by a mass shooter. Because they are very, very rare things. The left lies and says they happen every day. They don't. But again, you prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Being prepared is a good thing. Not perfect, but good. This is Doug Hagen for the Daily Gator Blog. Thank you for listening. Remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And go Gators, heck of a comeback against South Carolina. Nothing could make me happier than to beat Will Muschamp. And the South Carolina Gamecocks. You deserve it, South Carolina. God bless. Y'all have a good one. And yeah, go Gators all the time. Y'all have a good one. We will talk to you soon.